This is KJZZ Sun Up. It's your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman. Good morning, and we bring you this podcast as a daily digest of the news events here in Arizona, as told by our KJZZ news team. Welcome to Ash Wednesday. It's February the 18th, also the first day of Ramadan. The Lunar New Year began yesterday. It's a busy week. Let's keep it all going with a check of the news around these parts. Well, Maricopa County Supervisor Mark Stewart is asking the board chairwoman to delay a meeting with Recorder Justin Heap that will focus on conflicting claims about election issues coming out of his office. The board unanimously voted last week to force Heap to testify today, but Stewart is now concerned that won't give the recorder enough time to prepare the report or give supervisors adequate time to read it. Christy Donnell is Stewart's spokesperson.
He doesn't want to have the reports put in front of him, have to read everything from the dais, not have time to digest all the different material.
Stewart also hired his own legal counsel to advise him on election issues related to the board's ongoing allegations with Heap over control of county elections. Meanwhile, Governor Katie Hobbs has released long-awaited proposals to reform the state's campaign finance and ethics law in response to pay-to-play allegations lobbied against her administration by Republican critics. From the politics desk, Wayne Shutsky has more on that.
Hobbs' plan, which would need to be approved by the Republican-led legislature, includes prohibiting potential state contractors from making political contributions of more than $50 during the bid process. The governor's pitch follows reporting that revealed a foster group home operator received a substantial rate increase after its owner donated to Hobbs and Democratic electoral efforts. But Hobbs' plan would also ban lobbyists from buying meals and other perks for state lawmakers and state officials. The governor released the plans 9 months after she vetoed a Republican bill that would have required state contractors to disclose donations to a governor or their campaign. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A Republican state lawmaker is pushing legislation to deploy federal immigration officers at Arizona polling places this fall. Also from our politics team, here's Cameron Sanchez with that.
Claiming it's necessary to boost public confidence in election security, State Senator Jake Hoffman's proposal would require county election officials to coordinate with federal agencies like Immigration and Customs Enforcement to deploy agents at all voting locations, including ballot drop boxes. In a statement, Hoffman said the agents would have the authority to observe election activity, but would be prohibited from interfering with voting. The proposal comes a week after Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem asserted at a Phoenix press conference it's a fact that non-citizens are voting in elections, despite evidence that shows non-citizen voting is exceedingly rare. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A new report from the advocacy group Forward.us looks at a recent surge of local law enforcement agencies signing up to work with ICE through a federal program called 287G. From the Fronteras desk in Tucson, Elisa Resnick has details.
A common 287G model allows deputies or police officers to look up the immigration status of people they arrest and turn that information over to ICE. Rena Karifa Johnson with Forward.us says the task force model, which allows local officers to make immigration-related questioning, stops, and arrests, has been revived and incentivized under the second Trump administration.
In this new iteration, the administration has promised to reimburse police departments for full salaries, overtime, bonuses, startup costs for officers trained in this program.
Forward.us's report estimates this year ICE could pay as much as $2 billion to participating agencies. Federal data shows 287G participation in Arizona has doubled in the last year. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Well, back in December, a federal court in Massachusetts ordered FEMA to reverse its termination of a program that provides communities with resources to protect infrastructure from natural disasters. As Greg Hawney reports, Arizona is among the states now asking the court to enforce its order.
Arizona joined on to the original lawsuit filed last summer attempting to prevent FEMA from ending its disaster mitigation program. According to a press release from the state attorney general's office, communities like Buckeye and Camp Verde were due about $5 million combined in pending flood mitigation projects. The new filing says FEMA is not complying with the December court order and that the agency has taken no clear steps in reinstating the program. The states involved in the lawsuit are asking FEMA to make the disaster mitigation funds immediately available and to clarify status on currently funded projects. Greg Hawney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Republican state lawmakers sent Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs a package of 12 bills they say will end fraud in government programs. The legislation mainly affects eligibility requirements for SNAP and Medicaid benefits. Democratic Representative Jamashita Peslakai says new requirements for things like employment training for SNAP recipients will hurt rural and tribal communities.
And a lot of these people don't have transportation or even computers. So this is, I just totally think this is wrong for all people that are on these reservation land or rural areas in Arizona.
Republicans say their package will protect Arizona from losing out on federal funding by bringing the state in line with the federal bill that passed last year. Amid his ongoing feud with the Trump administration, particularly Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly told the BBC that he is considering a run for president in 2028.
You know, I'll seriously consider this because we are in some seriously challenging times right now.
The former Navy pilot has made headlines since November when he and five other Democratic lawmakers issued a message urging U.S. troops to resist unlawful orders. President Trump accused Kelly of sedition. Hegseth later censured the senator, kickstarting a process that could result in a demotion of Kelly's retired rank of captain. A federal judge last week, though, temporarily barred the Pentagon from implementing Kelly's punishment. He has spoken out about the unlikely path to a Senate seat that he's taken and says he may still seek higher office.
I never thought I'd find myself here, so I will obviously think about this. It's a serious decision. I just haven't made it yet.
Kelly's seatmate, Senator Ruben Gallego, has also spoken of considering a run for president in 2028. Well, should Arizona pharmacists be able to provide treatments for certain common illnesses? The state legislature is weighing that question, and Catherine Davis-Young has more.
House Bill 2444 would allow pharmacists to test for flu, strep, or COVID-19. If the test is positive, the pharmacist could just dispense the appropriate treatment and save the patient a trip to their primary care provider for a prescription. Diane McAllister with the Arizona Pharmacy Association says most states already allow this. She says it gives patients easier access to care.
Nearly 90% of Americans live within 5 miles of a pharmacy, which offer more affordable and accessible point of care, often with earlier, later, and weekend hours.
Only a few very common illnesses are included in the bill, and pharmacists could only offer treatment to patients over the age of 10. But Amanda Scheinson with the Arizona Medical Association argues pharmacists don't have the right training to prescribe these treatments.
For a certain percentage of the population that have very straightforward illnesses, sure, this might be fine. But do you want to take the risk that you or your child or your parent is one of the few people that would have severe complications?
The bill passed out of committee on a 7-5 vote and now heads to the full House. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Pointing south now, the Mexican state of Sonora is working to vaccinate its population against measles as cases of the disease rise around the country. From the Fronteras Desk in Hermosillo, the capital of Sonora, Nina Kravinsky has more.
Mexican officials say 29 people have died of measles in the country since the beginning of last year, and authorities are urging vaccinations. The state of Sonora, which borders Arizona, has confirmed 166 cases and one death. That puts it within the top 10 of Mexico's 31 states for measles cases over the past year. But that number is dwarfed by the neighboring state of Chihuahua, which borders Texas and New Mexico, where more than 4,000 measles cases were confirmed over the past year, largely centered around that state's Mennonite community. Mexico's president said almost 1.7 million measles vaccinations were given across the country last week. Nina Kravinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
In sports basketball, the ASU men have had a rough season, but they did pull off a big upset at home last night. They knocked off 13th-ranked Texas Tech 72-67, the Sun Devils' first win over a ranked opponent in more than a year. Meanwhile, the ASU women having a much better season at 21-6, and with tournament hopes, they'll play at Iowa State this evening. In the NBA, Suns still off for the All-Star break. They return to action tomorrow in San Antonio against the Spurs. And that does it for this Wednesday edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast, this February the 18th. I'm Phil Latzman. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the day, and we'll do it again, of course, tomorrow. Talk to you then.